You're listening to the Park Avenue United Methodist Church podcast. This sermon was delivered by our pastor, Reverend David Gilmore, during a recent worship service in New York City. We invite you to listen with an open heart.
Please repeat after me. There is a word from God today, and it's for me. Would you pray with me and pray for me? Oh God, I thank you for affording me one more opportunity to proclaim your word, and I would ask on this day that you would hide me in the shadow of the cross and save me from me. Use me, O God, on this day to offer a word of hope and peace to these your people. This is my prayer in the name of Jesus. Amen. Hope, not hype. Hope, not hype. In the Christian church, the Sunday after Pentecost is known as Trinity Sunday. Trinity Sunday is that day when we who self-identify as Christian affirm one of our most basic beliefs, and that is of the Holy Trinity. Now, forgive the patriarchal language, that's God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit. I believe that it's no coincidence that this year, Trinity Sunday also happens to fall on the same day when we honor fathers and father figures. Father's Day began as a tribute from Sonora Smart Dodd to her dad, say that fast three times, who, as a widow, raised six small children by himself. Ms. Dodd is credited with the first Father's Day observance in 1910. However, it was not until 1972 when Richard Milhouse Nixon signed into law Father's Day, making Father's Day a national holiday. Father's Day, inspired by a Mother's Day sermon, is that day when we remember and honor fathers and father figures who are our heroes, our role models. Father's Day, that day we honor and celebrate fathers and father figures who have faced trials and tribulations, the storms of life, and still have done their part in making us who we are today. And it is in that vein, dealing with the adversity of and facing giants, facing trials, facing tribulations of life, that I'm led to address you this morning. If we take a good, hard look at ourselves and our relationship with God, I believe that some of us, not all of us, but some of us, truly believe that we're not supposed to suffer any trials or tribulations. Maybe it's just me, but it seems that many of our siblings go through life not really living, but conversely, trying not to suffer. And I believe that this conscious movement not to suffer leaves us susceptible to hype and not hope. Now, before I go any further, I think we should understand the difference between hype and hope. Hype is something or someone which temporarily stimulates us. And while this stimulation may make us feel good in the moment, there's usually some sort of deception or put on associated with hype. Hype is that thing or person who takes us to the moon and brings us crashing back to earth. Hype is that thing or that person who just makes our hearts sing one moment and breaks it in the next. Hype is false hope or faux hope. Leaning into my music roots, you knew it was coming. Alan Freed, the person who coined the term rock and roll, had his radio career torpedoed by the payola scandal of the 1950s. The late, great MC Danny Ray was most famous for draping a cape over the godfather of soul, James Brown, at the end of his shows. However, Mr. Ray also covered up numerous incidents of James Brown abusing women. And then, last but far from least, is Mr. William Drayton Jr., also known as Flavor Flav, the hype man for the hip-hop group Public Enemy, who on the now-canceled show Yo! MTV Raps rocked a big clock, and in the same show dropped a rock of crack cocaine. Hype, not hope. Hope, on the other hand, is a desire with the expectation of fulfillment. In other words, hope is something or someone that we trust in or rely on because we just know that that thing or that person will never, ever let us down. Hope is not a flight of fancy or a wish we know we will never achieve. Hope is something we can almost literally place our arms around and hold on to. What I'm saying is that hope is real and hype is not. Hype is something or someone here today and sometimes even gone today, while hope is that something or someone that we can bank on always having our back. Hype is a temporary fix, while hope is a permanent repair. Hope is real. Hype is not. There was a time in my life when I suffered from a recurrence of pneumonia. Now, without going into detail, I'll just say my grandmother used to always say, a hard head makes a soft behind every time, and I was guilty of that. And while I was recuperating, I was confined to the house, and I spent quite a bit of time watching television. What caught my eye was the general theme of many of the television commercials. What I witnessed was a lot of hype and not much hope. I saw purple pills that promised to calm our stomachs and blue pills that promised to calm or cure something else. I saw patches that promised to soothe our aching muscles. I saw an imaginary city called Lucky Town where everyone was rich. I even saw websites that promised the perfect mate and true love, regardless of age, vocation, or location, and it was all hype. I saw all of these products that promised to make a person feel better physically and emotionally. However, what I did not see was a product promising to fix a broken heart, or repair a broken relationship, or even end depression. I waited, but I did not see a product that was capable of ending wars or racism or sexism or ageism or homophobia or even transphobia. I watched, but I did not see a product that offered peace to a troubled soul or peace to a troubled neighborhood or even peace to a troubled church or just made a person feel good about who they are and whose they are. There was a whole lot of hype, but not much hope. Our word from God today is that too many of us are hyped up and not enough of us are hoped up. Many of us are facing some storms, and if we're going to become successful storm riders, we need to leave the hype alone and hold on to a very real hope. To live is to go through something. To live is to suffer trials and tribulations. To live is to suffer heartache and heartbreak. And instead of us using these trying times constructively, too many of us lose hope and lean too much into hype. Yes, we have a word. I didn't know if I was going to preach, but I think I will. All of us, while we draw breath, are going to have problems. All of us, while we draw breath, are going to encounter obstacles. All of us, while we draw breath, are going to have some sleepless nights. But what separates the true believer from the splendor-laced placebic believer is that we can still hold on to hope. The true believer knows that troubles are going to come, but troubles won't last always. The true believer knows that the storms of life are going to rage, but we have an anchor called Jesus. The true believer knows that there are going to be dark times, but eventually the sun will shine and light will overcome the darkness. The true believer knows and lives in hope and not hype. Indeed, hope is one of the defining characteristics of a true believer. So the question for today is, are you hoped up or hyped up? I believe that the last three verses of today's passage of Scripture offer us a formula or a roadmap to nurturing or growing in our hope. And hope, in my opinion, ranks right up there with love as to what the world seems to be missing the most right now. I also further believe that if we have no hope, we have no life. I saw the babies and that gave me hope. That also reminded me that we're alive. We are alive. We are alive. Paul begins this formula, we boast in our sufferings. Now, we need to understand that suffering is not a new concept. Contrary to popular belief, we are not the only ones who suffer. I know when we are going through something, many times we will focus on our problem. You know, it's a me thing. However, it is important for us to realize that our problem is not the only problem. The people in Paul's day were persecuted just for following this new cult called Christianity. These folks were beaten and imprisoned and killed just for being followers of Christ. So how can Paul encourage these persecuted people to boast in their suffering? Could it be that Paul knew that sometimes we suffer for a greater good? Could it be that sometimes we lose something because God wants us to gain something else? Sometimes we need to be torn down so that God can build us up. Don't get me wrong. I'm not saying we need to be happy in our suffering. I'm not saying we got to be doing handstands or cartwheels or high-fiving or fist-bumping each other while we're going through something. However, I will say, and Paul says it, that we should try to maintain a positive attitude while we're going through. And the reason why is because of what Paul says suffering produces. According to Paul, something good or positive is going to come out of something that is bad or negative. I was asked this morning, how you doing? And I said, I'm living the dream. And the question was, are you living the dream or a dream? I had to think about that. You know, as in someone else's dream. No, I'm living my dream. I'm living the dream. Just so you know. I'm here for another year. The person caught up in hype cannot handle suffering. When the storm comes, their life comes to an abrupt halt. The person caught up in hype suffers and wants others to suffer. The person caught up in hype is miserable and wants everyone around them to be miserable with them. The person caught up in hype is pitiful and will send out personal invitations, even invites, for people to join their pity party. We are building up to something here. Paul tells us that suffering produces endurance or perseverance. This endurance or perseverance should not be confused with patience. Y'all didn't hear what I said. Let me say it again. This endurance or perseverance should not be confused with patience. Patience denotes passivity. You're passively waiting for something to happen. However, our endurance or perseverance signifies action during a bad experience. Enduring does not mean quietly waiting it out while we're going through our trial or tribulation. Biblical endurance requires having the courage to wade right in and lean into our faith when everyone else has given up. Biblical endurance means having the courage to keep on keeping on, even when we don't know or think that we can keep on keeping on. Biblical endurance means running the marathon and not the 100-yard dash. The person caught up in hype is good for a New York minute. I just found out what that meant. But when the storm comes, and the storm is going to come, they will run for cover. The person caught up in hype retreats when obstacles are placed in their path. The person caught up in hype wants a quick fix and will give it up and will give up if it is not fixed quick. The person who is caught up in hype places their trust in an individual and not God. I'm talking about people who are willing to follow God just as long as God gives them what they want when they want it. I'm talking about Burger King believers right now. We're building up to something. However, Paul goes on to explain that endurance produces character. Character. Now, this word character is not what many of us understand character to be. The Greek translation of the word character can be understood to be someone who has been put to the test and meriting approval when the test has been passed. In other words, you went through something, you made it through something, and it's made you a better person. In other words, this type of character has been through the fire, and even though they got burned a little bit, they didn't get burned up. This type of character fed the hungry when they were hungry. This type of character visited the sick while they were sick. This type of character lifted someone else's spirits while they were down in the dumps. Christian character is achieved when we are not ashamed of our emotional scars. You know what I'm talking about. We were down, but we didn't stay down. We were in a rut, but we did not stay in that rut. We were challenged and met the challenge head on. Christian character is a divine gift which is built through suffering and enduring. The Christian character has been tried and found true. The Christian character has been tested and has been approved by God. Now, this is where it gets good. Faith is directly related to character. What I'm saying is that as our character is developed, our faith is strengthened. When we make it through a storm, our faith or trust in God deepens, so that we have something to fall back on when the next storm comes. Because we know another storm is coming. If that goes by somebody, I'm talking about looking at our storm as a hope line door instead of a hype-filled wall. What I'm saying is that when we have survived an illness, the next time that we become ill, we can fall back on our memory of how God healed us the last time. When we run out of money, we can go back in our memory banks and recall how God sent us a check in the mail. When we remember when we're hungry, we can look back and remember those times that God sent us manna from heaven. When demons are attacking us, we will remember how God cast out our demons. I'm talking about hope right now and not hype. What am I saying? What am I saying? We may be in a storm right now, but remember how God brought us through our last storm, and then trust that God will bring us through our current storm. We may be facing a mountain right now, but remember when God brought us and helped us cross over the last mountain. And then look at that mountain and say, be moved. I'm not going to get started. Let me move on. We cannot appreciate how good God truly is until we have witnessed God's goodness for ourselves. We can read about it. We can have our mothers and fathers talk to us about it. We can go ahead and sit at the feet of our grandparents and let them remind us of how it was for them. But until we have experienced God for ourselves, we don't really understand God's goodness and God's mercy. We cannot appreciate God's blessings until we have witnessed God's blessings for ourselves. We cannot appreciate God's grace until we have witnessed God's grace for for ourselves. We cannot appreciate God's love until we recognize and acknowledge it was only God's love that has brought me safe thus far. Sometimes we have to suffer. Sometimes we have to go through so that when God rescues us, we can say it wasn't me. Sometimes we have to have doors closed in our face and windows shut on our opportunities and then witness God open the door and raise the window so that we can say it wasn't me, it wasn't my name, it wasn't my bank account, it wasn't the degrees that I had, but God that brought me through. Sometimes we've got to get rained on. And then watch God provide the umbrella. I'm almost done. We're in a lapse here as far as sports goes, so we're good. But as I close, Paul tells us that suffering produces endurance, and endurance produces character, and character produces hope. And hope does not disappoint us. This is what real hope is all about, church. Real hope is something that is lasting and you can hold on to. Real hope cannot let us down because we remember how God showed up when we needed God most. Real hope cannot disappoint us because we remember how when we took that first step towards Jesus, Jesus was already there waiting for us. Real hope cannot disappoint us because when we remember how we were lost, we can say, I once was lost, and Jesus will say, I've already found you. I don't know about anybody else, but I can get hoped up and not hyped up because I have truly experienced the love of Jesus in my life. I'm hoped up because Jesus rescued me from unhealthy things and unhealthy people. I'm hoped up because Jesus walked with me and talked with me when no one else would. I'm hoped up because Jesus dried my tears when I was crying myself to sleep at night. I'm hoped up because Jesus picked me up out of my depression. I'm hoped up because Jesus saw me at my worst and showed me what I could be at my best. And if Jesus did it for me, Jesus will do it for you too. You may be suffering right now, but hold on to your hope in Jesus and let the Holy Spirit lead you out of your suffering. You may have fallen down, but hold on to your hope in Jesus and let the Holy Spirit pick you up, dust you off, and set you on the right path. Hope or hype? You choose. And to all I offer, shalom and amen.
Thanks for spending time with us. We hope today's message brought peace and inspiration to your week. To learn more about Park Avenue United Methodist Church, visit us online at paumcnyc.org. Grace and peace to you.